Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, good Pat. Welcome back to the second hour of Tip Today, 1800 938 007. Doc is looking after the show. The text and WhatsApp, 083 311 3311. Now, glad to be joined by our GP, Dr. Pat Harold. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Fran. Happy Ash Wednesday to you.
And a happy Ash Wednesday to you indeed, Pat. Can I drag you into this conversation that we've been having about assisted dying and the like? How do you feel about that, Pat?
Oh, gosh, right. That's before the Oireachtas at the moment.
It is indeed. It's gone to committee stage, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Fran. No, I'm kind of caught the hop in this. But I'll tell you, I would have great sympathy for people who would find themselves in the predicament that they think that they'll die miserably. One of the prayers in the old Catholic canon was, you pray for a happy death. Mm. Remember that?
I do indeed.
And Vicky Phelan, who we all admire greatly, is has an interest in this, of course. And I was very fond of Sir Terry Pratchett. And Terry Pratchett was very, towards the end of his life,
the
writer.
Yeah.
Louis Body Dementia. And he was very keen on going in his own back garden with a glass of brandy in his hand when the time suited him. But I believe he died quite peacefully before it happened. And I think, you know, most people who die with palliative care, the vast majority die with dignity and pain-free. Now, there is a small amount that don't. There's no point pretending there isn't. And medicine moves on and legislation moves on. I know that there's a document, Dying with Dignity, that a group of doctors were interested in up with. And the palliative care consultants, maybe you've covered all this before, I don't know, I wasn't listening, sorry, I was kind of working here.
No problem.
But
of course
the palliative care consultants feel it's too broad. And I just hope that this will be discussed in a reasonable, sensible, modern, intelligent way. The whole thing, and it's not just an Irish phenomenon, is that people get polarised. You know, you pick whichever side of the debate thinks that you, and I wasn't listening to your previous listeners, I'm not getting at any of them, or the people who are on. But, you know, they pick a stance that they think suits their kind of worldview, and they start shouting at each other. And the people who are actually concerned and worried get lost in the middle of it, and nobody hears their voice. Which, because we've sat through quite a few referendums in this country, and they weren't a pretty sight, most of them.
For sure, yeah.
You know, so, look, it's something that needs to be discussed and worked on, and I do think there's a small minority of people who will benefit from assisted dying, and hopefully it'll be legislated for properly.
And properly, of course, is the word there. The other thing that came up with some of our listeners, now I know you were busy this morning, but I think it was you who told me before, Pat, that the Hippocratic Oath is no longer part of becoming a doctor, is it?
No. But you see, what we do have is the Medical Council Guidelines.
Of course.
Which are worse than the Hippocratic Oath, I can tell you. It's a booklet, and there's subsections, and they update it. Like, there's a whole new section of telemedicine.
Well, this notion of the do no harm, that's part of that oath and all of that.
Now, I was listening to Rachel Clark, who's a writer. I know slightly. She's a very good writer in England, and we writing doctors hang out together a lot. And she was talking about, it isn't first do no harm as much as act in the patient's interests.
Right.
That's what we have to do, is act in the patient's interest. And I might personally believe that Elvis died, went to heaven, and is telling me that I should plant daffodils every spring, which is grand. Mm-hmm. But if I don't give my patients antibiotics because Elvis is telling me not to, that's a different matter.
Right.
You know, and sometimes the doctors kind of tend to forget this. They're getting their information. So we kind of have to act in accordance with the Medical Council guidelines, which are strict. And if you wander outside that, you're in deep trouble.
Right, very good indeed. But you don't sort of put your hand up and take an oath, or I don't know. Did you ever? What was that?
I think that's gone a long time.
Is it?
Unless I was down the town Galway that day.
Well, that's another point, is it?
The keys or somewhere.
maybe you were indeed. It's interesting. Anyway, listen, what's the latest on rollout, Pat? Because I'm confused, but then again, I'm
often
confused.
Oh, I hope you're not, Fran. No, it's not confused. It's starting off. I mean, you would be forgiven now for thinking that everybody in the country over 70 was going to get vaccinated on last Monday.
Mm.
Now, some GPs and not too many got the vaccine, and are getting it this week. You know, and in every town in Tipperary, there'll be one or two who probably have it in, and then there'll be more next week. I'd be hoping that we'll be going Monday, not next Monday, maybe, gosh, what are we at?
Monday 22nd. Forward, is it?
Yeah, I hope. Now, yes. I'm not 100% sure. You know, and but if there is a problem with supply, there's no at the moment, but there won't be. So the best thing you can do is, if you're 85, make sure we have your phone number, make sure we have your PPS number, and if you have a medical card with any GP, they will have the PPS number. And it sounds a bit mean, but don't call us; we'll call you.
Of course, yes.
We'll ring up, consent you on the phone, get the thing, and then give you a time and a date, and you. It might be a Saturday, it might be a Sunday, it might actually be 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, because don't forget we have to do the ordinary work as well.
I'm sure most people wouldn't mind what.
Yeah, everybody's going to have their way. The motto we have for this is nobody gets left behind. And there are vaccination teams as well. Like this week they're doing the Sue Ryder homes, they're doing the nuns, the priests, you know, who are kind of not exactly in a nursing home, but they're kind of in retirement homes. You know, it is coming, and I see that the there's other vaccines coming down the line and everything.
Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson may be with us now, and that's a one-step vaccine, is it?
That's a one-shot vaccine, and they're ordering a lot of that, and that might just really be a big, and Micheál Martin thinks that's going to be a game-changer altogether. And that's a lot of the preliminary stuff has been done on this. You know, they've been putting in their things to the European board as they went along. So there's not much left to sign up on.
Is that the current jab in America, the Johnson & Johnson one?
I don't think so, Frank.
Oh,
is
it?
I think they're going with Moderna.
Are they?
Okay. No, I could be corrected in that.
Yeah.
The thing is we'll have to give people two dates, you know, depending on which vaccine you've got. So you'll come at this date. Now, Fran, I've been vaccinated. I got my second jab on Saturday. And let me tell you, it was, you know, the older you are, apparently, the less you feel it. I had a shocking hangover for the weekend. It wasn't a hangover, it was after the jab and a sore arm. Look, I'll take it. I don't mind. But Roseanne Kenny, Professor Roseanne Kenny, who's sort of a brilliant geriatrician, she has just said everybody should. And it would be a great idea for Lent, instead of taking things away, to decide something you're going to do. What you need to do is stimulate your immune system for the vaccine. So you have a good immune system when you get the vaccine.
So is vitamin D the boy too?
Vitamin D, Frank, which we've been saying in this program, honest to God, I think the whole of Tipperary was listening to it because it's jumping off the shelves. But everybody should be getting, 800 to 1,000 a day of vitamin D. And starting today, Ash Wednesday, get a 30-minute walk 5 times a week. And that will boost your immune system, preferably, if you can, with trees and things around. And this is de facto scientific medicine. It's not me giving you hippie stuff. This is the real thing.
Very good. So, and that does. Why isn't the World Health Organization coming out and saying, listen, vitamin D is vital to you know, would that not be a very practical piece of advice from them, Pat?
They come out with a lot. I can't say whether they do or they don't. Do you
know, seemingly they didn't. I was reading that they don't endorse it in some way, but, you know.
Yeah, well, it certainly won't do you any harm, and the evidence is that, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, especially where we are, you won't get it from sunlight, especially this time of the year.
So you have to do. So are you kind of happy enough the way things are moving, considering there's an issue with supply? Are you?
Well, there's a plan in place.
Yeah.
And the plan is starting to work, and the GPs are up for it, and we're all making our own arrangements as best we can.
I mean, not that I'm trying to raise trouble around anything, but I can't understand why you can't move, say, have a chat with your local parish priest and do all of your vaccination in the church, you know, or some bigger venue.
Yeah, that's
the Scouts Hall or somewhere.
That quite a lot of the bigger practices are looking for. They're saying we're going to. Now, I've taken part in what they call the buddy up system. So one of our practices will be open for business. That's my one, and Brendan Murnan's will be the vaccination centre. But some places are just basically going to have to try and exist in a wing and a prayer for a couple of days. There's the 37 vaccination centres have been picked out, but they're not ready to go, and we're not really sure. You know, there might be. I don't want to really speculate in there, you know, because people be driving, they only get sort of half a sentence, they think. But, I know it could be, it definitely could be. I think we're going probably a bit more cautious than the UK. Now, in the UK, more people have had their two vaccines in Ireland than have had in the UK. And in the UK, they're kind of getting worried when they're coming up to the second vaccine, are they going to get it?
Well, they made that decision to partially, at least, vaccinate more people, isn't it? Is that their decision?
Number, but you know, if you miss out on the second Parkinson's vaccine, then you probably have to be done twice more. It's all logistics. So, I'm happy enough, friend. We're doing something. It's just about a year since the first person in Ireland who died of this thing, and 4,000 people have died since. There's been such disruption and such thing. Things are getting better slowly.
And I suppose we need to take into account that within that year, which is unheard of, vaccines have been developed to combat a disease we didn't know anything about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, the big vaccine companies actually didn't really get out their vaccines, which is one of the reasons there's a bit of a supply problem worldwide. But vaccinating the Western world will be done, but vaccinating the rest of the world then will be the big thing, because there's not much point in, you know, half the world being vaccinated and half the world not being vaccinated, because then you get your scary resistant strains.
Yes.
And they are coming all over the place.
Now, I know there is some sort of a project going on that will try and deal with that in some way, but it could be years down the line before some of the poorer countries will be looked after, Pat, I suppose.
Yeah, the COVAX thing is doing it, but that's something we just have to keep in mind all the time.
Well, hopefully so indeed. Listen, it seems a little more mundane, but it can be awfully debilitating to people. Back pain, Pat, do you come across a lot of that?
I'm coming across a lot of it, Brian, and I think there's two reasons for it. One is people are at home and they're sitting in kitchen chairs and things at the table. You should try, and they're doing things. And the other thing is the weather's getting a bit better. I can always say, if there's a good long bank holiday weekend with good weather, you'll get people Monday and Tuesday. The back is killing me, and they always seem surprised. They were dragging out the lawnmower and lifting it into the back of the car and driving it here, you know. So it's quite often, but not always. You know, you can sort of put it down to the time you did something. A lot of us need to work on our core strength and our muscles. You know, if you've been sitting down all winter, your back will do. But 6 out of 10 would be suffering from back pain. If you're sitting down at your desk at home, you know, you should try to make sure that your hips are higher than your knees, and try to make sure that the screen of the computer is about at your eye level, which might mean putting a few books and things under it, and that you've got your keyboard at your hand. And the back pain can last up to 6 weeks. You know, now there's a few danger, some things we don't like. Imagine, one is called the Cauda equina syndrome, which is very rare.
Well,
I've never seen it.
What is it?
Cauda equina, at the back of your spine, your spinal cord sort of looks like this beautiful horse's tail. All the nerves come out, and if there's something pressing in that, you lose control and you pee yourself, and that's a big emergency. Good. Off to the neurosurgeon. But it's worth mentioning, because you know. And the other thing is pain running down your leg. Now, that's very few cases, but that's the sign of sciatica, and that means, people say a stiff disc, it's bad sort of a description, really. It's more that the disc is pressing on the nerve. It's like a protrusion, it's like an electric current, you know. It's pressing here and you feel it lower down. So, but back pain is physiotherapy. We don't really like giving tablets much, because, you know, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, they're hard in the stomach, hard in the kidneys. If you're over 70, you should probably avoid them if you can.
And it used to be the case that, you know, if you have back pain, lie down for X amount of time. But it seems now, more recently, the advice is to get up and get about, Pat.
That's gone, Motion is lotion, what they say. And try to keep doing, within reason. You know, you wouldn't start carrying the lawnmower again. But, you know, you definitely could keep moving and doing things. And they used to say sleep in boards or sleep in a firm surface.
Yeah.
That's gone as well. You know, whatever way you're comfy.
Right.
Today. And sort of let it pass. But, you know, use the opportunity to work on your muscles. And you know, get into shape, really, is the thing. And good posture. And anything like Pilates, Tai Chi, any of those, and there's lovely online courses. You know, you can join with a group of people or do it on your own. And if you have any access to YouTube at all, I mean, it's not too difficult to find a class that suits you.
All right. All sorts of questions coming into us on the vaccine, Pat. But the main thing is that you will contact people. When I say you, I mean GP practices will contact people, won't they?
As soon as we know.
Right. So it's no good them making contact with you.
Yeah, we're going to start to give 10. We're going to give quick slots. And we'd ask people when they come up to have an arm that you can get at. You know, if you have to take off 3 coats and unbutton a shirt or something like that, just something that you can pull down easily and get to the top of your shoulder. So, you know, so the vaccinator can just pop it in, and then you sit for a few minutes just to make sure that you're okay, and off you go.
Right.
But it's the taking on and off the coats and things can really delay the thing. And basically sort of, I'm sure people are very keen and be in time and realise that this won't be a time to sort of discuss your tablets and get your blood pressure taken and your blood taken and all this.
Right,
sort of stuff.
Get in and get out.
Get in and get out and get the job done. That's the thing. So we kick off with the over 85s, and it sounds a bit unfair because if you're 72 and you're married to someone 87, they'll be done first.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it to the 85s, and there might be a couple of people 82, 83 ready to go, you know, that if something happens, somebody can't show up.
Quite a few people onto us, Pat, with various underlying conditions and saying, you know, when me and all of that. It is age-determined, isn't it?
It's age-determined, and I really hope the underlying conditions people will get into the mix sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because I think, as far as I know, in Britain, they've introduced that now at this point, that now that they're working through the age brackets, now they're saying that people with severe conditions possibly will be shoving towards the front lines. So.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Might be something that we might look at. One person saying, I have severe lower back pain every morning when my bladder is full. Once I pass urine, it goes. Is that linked to my bladder or my uterus or what, Pat? That's a question for you.
I think you need to look at, actually. You know, I would make an appointment to see your doctor and bring along a urine sample. That doesn't sound like a real back thing to me.
Right.
So that might be a gynae matter or a bladder problem.
Right, so get it sorted out. Yeah. All right, Pat, great to talk to you. Thank you for your time,
take care,
Pat. Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Good morning to you. That's Dr. Pat Harold speaking to us this morning, 1800-938-007. The text and the WhatsApp is 083-311-3311.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.